Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome. And it's my pleasure to introduce the Analyst Relations Forum for 2010. My name is Jeff Goldterman, for those of you who haven't had a chance to meet over the years. My responsibilities are within what we call the High Tech and Telecom Programs team, which is headed by Michael Yu, who joins us here as well. Dave Lawrence, who's also in the back of the room, manages our media offerings in HTTP. So we have a number of folks here to work with you, take your questions. We're also joined by Nancy Erskine, who is our ombudsman, who many of you have chatted with over the years. And I wanted to first really thank you all for all the efforts that you put into giving us your feedback on our offerings for all of you, our vendor clients. And number two, also thank you very much for all of the time that you invest as AR professionals, working very closely with our analysts and other Gartner associates, you know, to help the analysts get their jobs done and to facilitate the process to get your jobs done as well. So I'd love to introduce the agenda for today. Based on some input from the team, from all of you, you'll probably notice that we've extended the AR Forum length this year by an hour. And based on the input from many of you around some of the questions that you ask us throughout the year, we actually added a tutorial session here from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock on what do the analysts like to see, or what do they value in an analyst relations program. And then Nancy will come up and talk about how to navigate the quote policy process and how to make it more effective and efficient for you. Then we have Gene Hall, our CEO, joining us at 3 p.m., followed by Peter Sondergaard. Gene will give us an update on Gartner company strategy, which, of course, many of you as AR professionals sometimes represent Gartner within your organization, so we want you to be up to speed on some of the key elements of Gartner strategy. Number two, of course, is being knowledgeable about research, process, methodology, agenda, new coverage areas, places where we're adding analysts. You'll hear that from Peter Sondergaard, our global head of research. And then back by popular demand, we've asked Mark McDonald, who's the head of our CIO research team, to come back and share with you his research on the 2011 CIO agenda and really what's on the mind of the CIOs. As we've seen many of you facing, a market-facing business development function in analyst relations, helping those that interface with your customers be more knowledgeable about what's going on in the mind of the CIO. And, you know, to sort of bookend our sessions here today, we got some feedback from Orlando that, Gartner, the first session was all about hearing from the analysts about what the analysts value from AR. How about a session that you all as AR professionals give us your feedback on what you'd like to see from Gartner? So Nancy and I will facilitate a little workshop at the end. We'll present some topics that you've given us as input in the areas of product and offering improvements, in research process, methodology, and operation improvements. And we want to get your feedback on rating the importance of those areas and then also identifying the things that we've missed. What are the things that you would like to see Gartner address in the things that we do to help you do your jobs better as AR professionals? So we want that to be a really nice feedback session where we can take that and apply that back to our operations to make it more effective for you as AR folks. So let's jump into the first session here. This is a tutorial. Sort of the caveats are we designed this with a little bit of anxiety in mind, recognizing that many of you are very experienced AR folks. So typically in the community, we did a survey last year, and you told us that your average years of experience in AR is between 7 and 10 years. So many, many of you are experienced. Some of you are brand new to AR or to the AR role, perhaps been with your firms for a while in other capacities but moved into AR. And so we put this presentation together as a way to get grounded in what's going on recently in the analyst minds. But and then also some of the more experienced folks came up to us afterwards in Orlando and said, you know, a lot of this stuff I know, but it was really nice to have a reminder on some of the things. It's like practicing a sport or the piano or whatever. It's good to have a coach. It's good to be able to practice on these things. So with that in mind, we wanted to give you some background on really what went into this presentation. So our approach was we reached out to some very experienced Gartner analysts, analysts that have had typically between 15 and 20 years experience at Gartner. And we asked them, you know, what are some of the things that you value in an AR program? And there were a lot of things that came out of this. And, being ex-analyst, maybe ex-analyst, always analyst, we sort of grouped this into a five-element framework. Analyst in AR communications, clout, mindset, knowledge of research process, and the ability to understand professionalism is a mutual thing between analysts and AR folks. And so the first bit of insight from this was we wanted to really make it clear that our objective here is to help you build better relationships with the analysts by understanding getting a bit into their mind and understanding their mindset. And what came out of the five areas was a set of rankings. And so what emerged was that clout, that is the clout that AR folks have to bring analysts in to executives and to positively impact the growth of your business, having that strategic mindset, a non-PR only focus, but a focus on bringing those analysts to help you build a better business, better set of products, partnerships, etc., was most valued by the analysts. Professionalism, communications, knowledge of the research process actually made up what we described as sort of the foundational elements. So if clout and mindset were really the differentiators, the areas of communications, professionalism, and research knowledge really made up that foundation. And we're going to talk about those first and then talk about clout and mindset. A few tactical things. Yes, Trevor.
Sorry. Are we going to just read these afterwards?
Yes. We're going to post that up on the AR community site. And you'll get that. Yes. So one of the key things that popped right out of the communications topic was, how do analysts like to be communicated to? And when I asked each of the analysts that I interviewed, they said, I really value when an AR person calls me, contacts me, and says, how do you like to be communicated to around vendor briefings, around inquiries, around advancements, changes in your organization? And there's different methods. So also knowing that it's most practical to personalize your communication program to the analysts, especially with your tier one analysts, meaning the ones that you work with the most, and typically many of you then have a tier two set of analysts and a tier three set of analysts, especially for the tier ones, being able to understand how they like to be communicated to was very important to most of them. They also value a lot of efficiencies in the communications, so they, like you, are very, very busy, doing 600 to 800 inquiries a year, supporting events like this, doing strategy sessions with clients, so being able to communicate in such a way whereby if you have an update for them, using sort of the email strategy of, message and, two or three lines really quick, to let them know exactly what this is all about, and then being able to dig more deeply later on. Again, a key tactic that a lot of the folks mentioned were some of the best practices. So understanding how they like to be communicated to is the first one. And then understanding what they cover, and the analysts really do value, especially the tier one analysts, that ability to do sessions with the analysts, especially if you're doing, let's say, a vendor day and you have analysts from multiple firms. The Gartner analysts really value a special session at the end. Not that they think they're special, but sometimes they do. But being able to give you their feedback. They really love to give you your feedback, as you've probably observed. Give you that feedback and embed that feedback back into your business to build better products, build a better business. That's what came through in all the interviews with the analysts. That's what they truly are motivated by. You know, feeding their research agendas and having an impact is really how they're motivated. So being very efficient in things like vendor briefings, inquiries, where typically think of it, I'm going to get my message across in the first half of that session and giving time to get feedback in the second half. Let me get that feedback from the analyst so I can apply that to my business, as opposed to the, you know, the one-way version of it. Some of the things they mentioned to avoid, and again, especially with some of your tier one analysts, is a very broad set of communications that are very generic. One of the things that the analyst said was, well, I asked him a question, you know, do you get invites to ATCs and webinars? You know, do you get newsletters? And they say, yeah, I just throw all that stuff away. You don't even pay attention to it. Could be, knowing that you have to tier the analysts and have a different communication strategy, but that's something to avoid for your tier one analysts. Perhaps, you know, for the tier three, those kinds of interactions make sense. But doing that with your tier ones, they tend to ignore that. And a big no-no that several of them had pointed out was, you know, look, if I'm a primary analyst on this firm and I hold primary coverage, especially, or even secondary coverage, you know, for Gartner on this firm, you know, I really don't want to hear about major announcements in the press. I want to hear about that ahead of time. It gives me an opportunity, you know, to think about that, put it in my framework on how I evaluate that vendor, and be prepared to take questions, because you want the analysts prepared to take questions when they get them from customers and from the press on those things. So very, very vital. There's another tactical point here, which sometimes the analysts said that sometimes they think that perhaps some of the AR folks don't understand that a lot of the analyst work is interrupt-driven based upon questions that come in from end-user clients. And so what they tend to do, if they don't have a position established on an answer, they will reach out to two or three or four of you and ask a question. They really value a quick, timely, and complete response. They were amazed at how many AR folks actually ignore that. They say, I'm not going to respond to that. We don't think that's important. Or they respond with just a very canned, you know, kind of response. So what happens there is that the analysts are able to be most knowledgeable on the companies that they have the better responses on that particular question. So they really value that as, you know, in that interrupt-driven portion of their jobs. But if we look at the overall research process, let's say the fun, the joy, the excitement of a Magic Quadrant process. Working through that, and we know all the time that you all invest in that the analysts invest a lot of time in that. So as many experienced AR folks have learned to be very, very efficient, you know, and effective during that process. And so it really starts with a solid understanding of the methodologies and the stages that analysts go through in doing the research around that methodology. They said that one of the key things that differentiates some AR folks in this regard is the ability to create their own setback schedules. So if the analysts say, you know, here's the due date for Magic Quadrant, being able to back that up on a series of milestone dates that I know I need to deliver information during those dates, and I will expect to get vendor review around this date, et cetera, et cetera. So really key, best practice there. And that being complete and on time in the information is really, really key in that regard. And then backing up claims with evidence and facts and references is really vital as well. Some of the things that, to avoid in the heat of battle, if you will, especially in the short strokes in the Magic Quadrant process, which would be, oh, gee, we need a briefing. We need to get a briefing at the 11th hour in the process. That's something you really want to prepare for up front and make sure that you work with the analysts early enough so that you get your briefing done, you know, up ahead of time. And then something that popped out of this was recognizing that the editing process happens after vendor review, and almost like, let's not waste time on the formatting or misspells or a comma or a dot misplaced. That leads to professionalism in a sense where that, you know, the analysts, believe it or not, really value relationships with AR people and the executives in your firms. You know, to a person in the analysts that we interview, they really do value a close working relationship, you know, built on mutual respect. And you know, some of them, you know, really describe that, you know, it's the ability to get their jobs done where they need to work with senior level executives, and they really value the AR professionals that have a sense of professionalism towards their job. And a couple of analysts really pointed out that it is a two-way street. As many of you know, Gartner has worked very hard over the last, let's say, 8 to 10 years of pushing as much arrogance out of the research organization as possible. And hopefully you've seen a lot of the change and a lot of the difference over the years for those of you who've worked with Gartner. And so that's why, you know, Nancy helps us out a lot in those regards. You know, you can go to Nancy, give her a call if you have any concerns in that area. So the analysts, I think, are holding themselves accountable to a very mutual, you know, a relationship based on mutual respect. And win-win. And one of the things that they mentioned is having a firm grasp on reality sometimes is a good characteristic. So therefore, you know, making claims in places where we have evidence and references as opposed to where we don't, and we're making claims in areas where we really can't back that up, it actually does waste a lot of time and really contribute to inefficiency. And the analysts would prefer to really stay focused on looking at references, looking at evidence, you know, that back up what you're describing to them. And so to emphasize a little bit on the knowledge of the research process and how valuable it is to have a setback schedule, there's also the flip side of this, which is understanding what your product development cycle is and bringing the analysts in early. One of the key characteristics that the analysts, how they rated AR programs, was the earliness that they bring them in, essentially before the code is finished, you know, before the circuits are burned, right? And there's a benefit for you, and the benefit for you is when you've involved the analysts in the design of that offering, when you get to launch, you actually find that the analysts see their insights in there. And you will actually have less difficulty in explaining to the analysts what you've done and convincing them that it's the right thing. So it actually helps you. There's a big win-win here. And a lot of the analysts really talked about that mechanism. So those are some of the, you know, tactical elements, again, in the spirit of a tutorial, that make up some of the foundational elements. And now we're going to talk about cloud and mindset that many of the analysts felt really differentiated one AR program from the next. Well, as an example of cloud, you know, one analyst said that cloud is really the most important thing, you know, to helping me get my job done. I cover this vendor. I need to get the insights of the senior level executives. So being able to have an AR person who has that clout that can bring the analyst insights to the executives and apply that to our business is really most important to me. That also has to come with what's called a strategic mindset, which is that mindset that says one of my purposes as an AR professional is to bring analyst insights inbound into the organization and apply it to a lot of the key business decisions we make, in addition to the outbound piece. The outbound piece needs to be there. But having a right balance and having that strategic mindset versus the PR mindset was really highly valued by the analysts. And some of you have seen this chart before from Gartner. I think this is the only chart that we've repurposed, you know, from other places in Gartner. And it really talks about how the analysts value different states of a relationship that you can have with Gartner. So on the left, all of you know that all of you as high technology and telecom and service providers have the opportunity to brief analysts because they cover your markets, your company, your technologies. On the right-hand side is actually leveraging that relationship that you build over time with the analysts, you know, to bring those insights in where you build up this two-way relationship. And it's a give-and-take, back-and-forth relationship where you're applying that. And so we asked the analyst, I said, okay, so tell us when you observe an AR program that maybe don't quite get that strategic mindset. You know, what do you actually observe? Well, they said a couple things, that AR spends all their time just trying to sell us, just trying to convince us that it's the right thing to do, that, you know, we're the best in the market. They spend an inordinate amount of time on jumping on every negative phrase or every tonality that's not exactly spot on with where you would like it. And in some cases, willing to go to the mat to actually sort of go over the edge and even maybe damage relationships by focusing on the very tactical element in a research note as opposed to looking at the big picture, which is to learn ahead of time before that research note is being published, apply that to the product, to the service, to the offering, make those changes, see those changes get out in the marketplace, get the client references, then present that back to the analyst, and the analyst will begin to hear that in the marketplace. That's the research process, according to the analyst. And then also, you know, to sort of beat a dead horse here is, you know, some analysts also see, you know, folks just, you know, continually hammering away at hammering out any negative phrase in a research note. On the positive side, they see very strategic mindset-oriented AR firms selling executives internally to work with the analysts, to bring the analyst insights in, you know, to be able to understand more deeply and strenuously what are the product development cycles and when can I bring an analyst in early to influence that product and to have a positive contribution on a channel strategy or a marketing message or going after a new market segment. So doing that early and up front is really, really important as well. And if they're looking at the big picture, you know, AR and executives really do value applying those analyst insights. And there's a lot at stake here. You know, the analyst believed that, you know, because of the ability to positively impact corporate business development, M&A, pursuit of new markets, the building of new products, the proper updated marketing around products, you know, the ability to establish stronger relationships with partners, you know, to make the channel more effective by leveraging, you know, the analyst insights. Those are the things that actually, in many of the analysts' minds, you know, contribute more directly to a strong AR program and actually the professional development of AR, as opposed to some of the other things that we talked about that that they didn't necessarily value. So AR Cloud actually is something that takes a long time. It's hard. It's strenuous. It's you know, we see many senior AR professionals who have cloud have taken years to build this up, to build trusting relationships with the executives because they have brought analysts in to help them grow their business. They've actually sold quite a bit more internally, you know, to those executives to leverage, you know, the analysts. And the analysts, you know, cited some examples of folks who have yet to sort of mature in the cloud area is they describe that they tend to get in the way. They tend to push out communications very, very broadly. And one of the key characteristics was, you know, this knowledge of the business. This, you know, is this AR person embedded in the business? Do they know the business? And do they have the business objectives in mind? Because, you know, some analysts will say, I really enjoy having a value-based conversation with an AR person that's very close to the business. So one of the key things that popped out of that was reporting structure and alignment. So we actually did a little interview or case study in the AR newsletter a couple of years ago, and we asked this question about, you know, does reporting structure really matter? Well, on the one hand of the ledger, some folks said, you know, it really doesn't matter. As long as I have a business perspective and a business objective, I can still report into the public relations organization or department, and I won't function in a PR-only mode because I'll be helping the business. I think analysts took a different position on that. And up until my discussions with them, I was more of a believer in the former strategy. The latter strategy is that until the executives understand the value of applying analyst insights to build a better business, build better products, better channel strategy, sell more effectively, that a lot of AR folks tend to struggle in how they work with the analysts. And the bottom line on this was, one of the analysts said, those AR professionals that actually have business objectives who are embedded in the business are the ones I can have more valuable conversations with because they understand what I'm trying to accomplish. They understand the division that they work in that company, or they understand the company's business. So that was very valuable to the analysts. Well, to kind of bring this together, I don't think any one of us would be worth our salt at Gartner if we didn't come up with some kind of framework or maturity model or, something, to while away the hours. But what really began to emerge from a lot of the interviews with the analysts was this journey that a lot of AR programs go through. And there were really two kinds of observable things that happen. One is, and this again, this is very biased. This is from the Gartner analyst perspective, right? So there are things that you as AR professionals need to do that are not represented in this. So this is looking outwards, from the analyst perspective, that there's a perception of vendor mindset in each of these generational stages, if you will, and there are certain things that the analysts observe or see as outward observations when they look at firms. Well, over on the left, as you can imagine, it's amazing how many $1 billion plus companies there are still without AR folks. There are quite a bit of them out there. It's amazing. And so what begins to happen, as you can imagine, is an analyst will be quoted to an executive and say, well, who are these people? The executive might say, who are these people anyway saying this stuff about my products, And they begin to say, well, I need somebody to go talk to them, right? So they tend to take a PR-only approach to this thing in the second stage. And they're usually done out of the corporate communications function or PR. And they spin someone up to go talk with the analyst, and the marching order is, go out and convince them that we really have what we, claim we have, right? Where things begin to change, and the mindset there of the executive is, these analysts are just not listening to us. They're not hearing our message, right? In the third stage, the team begins to get it. They begin to see some successes. They begin to see that applying analyst insights to change and grow the business actually happens, and that strategic AR really might work for us as an organization. And we call that sort of the in-transition stage, transitioning from outbound mostly to a combination, a healthy balance of inbound, bringing the analyst insights inbound, to enough outbound where I'm making sure that I do get my message across and that I do get my message across to the right analyst at the right time. And when we begin to see some changes here in sort of the fourth phase here, which we call, inbound focus, where you flip the switch from outbound to inbound, that the execs really begin to see the analyst's value. And they've applied it several times, to the point where you get to innovative AR, where we see a lot of innovative things happening on building relationships, on communications, on connecting executives with analysts on a regular basis, on an ongoing basis, around your key business initiatives. And the mindset that the analysts observe is it feels like all the major moves that company takes are done with our input. They may do something else, but at least they're asking for our reaction to that and answer to the question, what will you say if we do X, Y, or Z? So that really begins to describe a state where we bring the analyst insights inside. So to wrap up and to summarize here, we see a couple of key things where that strategic mindset is really what propels maturity. Number two, that AR Cloud is really what makes it happen with the executives, you know, bringing those analyst insights to the right business leaders, you know, to change the organization and apply analyst insights to help you grow your business. You know, the piece in the middle here, effective communications, effective communications and knowledge of the research process and the ability to align with that is actually what makes it happen. You know, there's a big program management role within AR, as many of you know, that has to happen. And then really finally, that professionalism is the glue that kind of holds that all together. You know, if something becomes contentious, we at least will have a good relationship together, you know, between AR and the analyst to hold it all together and to move forward. And so you can, I'm not going to go through what we're going to leave you with is sort of a checklist, a set of diagnostics that we prepared as well. We'll post that up to the website afterwards on things to perhaps apply to your own AR program and to sort of do a check. You know, how do you tier the analysts? What's your communication? What's your percentage of inbound and outbound communications? What's the percentage of the communications interactions you have with the analysts that really involve, you know, the key executives in your organization? And then how much of those interactions result in changes in the offerings where you've brought the analysts in early on? So I want to thank you for sitting through the first tutorial that we've ever done here. We hope this has been helpful. We want to be able to turn the floor over to Nancy, who's going to take us through some of the best practices in quote policy, and then we'll open it up for questions to both of us when we round that out. Okay? Well, thank you very much.